This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Brisky,
featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
Should Judge Clifton Newman recuse himself from being the judge in any further trials of Alec Murdaugh? That's one of the questions that is being asked, amongst other things, of should he just get a whole new trial because of the allegations of jury tampering. One of the main points, though, about Judge Clifton Newman, who I thought was a great judge, I think really was a very stand-up, respectable individual, but at the same point, we're talking about his own clerk of court who has these allegations against her, and she is currently denying them, and we can talk about those charges in a moment, but the fact that there is that connection there, and the fact that he's gone out after the trial, as some judges do, and has given interviews, he's very clearly expressed his distaste for Alec Murdaugh, to put it lightly. If you're wanting to be an impartial judge, which you do in a case like this, and there's more Alec Murdaugh trials to take place, Gloria Statterfield's was scheduled to be coming up. They're asking for a stay on that. Should Judge Clifton Newman be a part of this anymore? Has he already done his duty? Has he now already kind of crossed that line, expressed what he truly feels about Alec Murdaugh? And should he be on the bench for any other charges that may come about or retrials?
It's kind of like many things that we talk about, and that is we need some objectivity in here to kind of see people that are closer to have more data points on the truth in this. For me, when I saw this and when I see all these things that we start seeing going into chaos, what it says to me is that, boy, our egos are really negative, powerful effects on anyone. Judges that are supposed to be impartial, clerks that are supposed to serve the public trust, or attorneys, they do such a fantastic job in general when there's not a camera. But every time we have who we are placed on display, and if we have positive affirmation of our behaviors, there's always the danger, and more times than not, us falling in love with our own voice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's important that these people that become public figures maintain some of their own objectivity, which is challenging, if not impossible to do. But we need loving critics on our side to give us that slap on the back that says, hey, knock that off. You're doing it to yourself again. Without that, things start falling apart and falling sideways where the public trust is eroded because you start questioning because it's in public view. Now, granted, I love that judge too. I thought he did a stand-up job. But anytime it starts getting questioned what his motivations are, what's it do? It erodes that trust that we have to have trust in the system. We have to have trust in the process and the people, you know, that are appointed and elected in these positions. And so it wastes public money, it wastes time and energy of the court and the entire system when we start questioning these things. So as much as I'd love cameras and media being in courtrooms, if it's going to be a big trial like this, look at the negative effect it can have also. I love it, but at the same time, I think we need some good checks and balances put in place, if they're not already. Granted, they probably are, for people that get this kind of scrutiny and this kind of publicity to maintain a good balance so that these kind of things don't happen.
Because we really don't know exactly what was said, if anything. Said, but at the same point, I mean, the attorneys for Alec Murdaugh, love them or hate them, at least my opinion, I think most would be, you're not going to file this and make these accusations unless there's something to it. Because if there's nothing to it, like literally just pulled out of thin air, there could be serious repercussions for those attorneys. They could get disbarred. They could be disqualified. There's so many things that could actually happen to them if they're just going to make something up, which tells me I don't think they are making something up. But what exactly did happen, I think, is the biggest question. And one of the things that was pointed out with the response from the prosecution, their statement said, look, everyone we've talked to, everyone Fled has talked to, said that this did not happen. Right. But in reality, they didn't talk to everyone yet. There's still a few jurors out there who have refused to talk. There's an alternate who has also refused to talk. So, yeah, you have a majority saying, I don't recall this by any means, but that's still not to say maybe one or two did have something said to them, or could it also be misinterpretation of information from Becky Hill? Could something have been misconstrued where the others understood it as this is just normal jury instruction, and maybe somebody took it as this is how we want you to vote and decide on the case?
Yeah, memories are tricky things, and it's so easy for us to place false memories on events and what happens that everyone has to be careful, especially when you're dealing with a lot of media attention, because if the media suggests one thing, that one suggestion that someone heard on an offhanded comment could become your new memory. It's actually pretty common that happens, and unfortunately. Here's the real challenge in this. The defense team has a real advantage in this, more than most people in this situation do, and that is they have Alex Murdaugh, who is so well connected, knows everyone, and his network so strongly that every time there's going to be a new player involved, again, pure conjecture, my point, but there's so many connections he has and so many deep roots he has that anytime there's a new possibility, he's able to have probably a very good dialogue with his defense, because he's attorney as well, to really play the system to his benefit. I think it's probably one of the reasons we see such nonverbal confidence and nonchalance about him. Again, in the limited scenes we're seeing of him, this is someone that feels very comfortable with what's going on, seemingly. And I think that's part of why. I think it emboldens the defense team a little bit more than other teams might be, because their client is an attorney. Their client is not just an attorney. He's an extremely well-networked attorney. So that gives them a lot of horsepower on the interpersonal and personality dynamics of everyone and everything involved.
And when we look at the dynamics of South Carolina's Lowcountry, we've heard there's evidence of the bizarre, pretty normal life for them for many years, with the Murdaughs being in those places of power. And just because Alec has now, been convicted of murder and all these other horrible charges that are out there, we saw through the other tentacles that he had put out with individuals, also the banker, their names are escaping me right now, but some of his colleagues also being charged and arrested and going to prison for colluding with Alec Murdaugh. Those are the ones who have been caught. One must also kind of wonder a little bit about the system as a whole there. If there's these pieces of corruption left and right, there probably still are pieces of it, even if they're working on cleaning house and working on refreshing the whole system. Just because one went down doesn't mean that all the bad is gone.
And corruption is always a fascinating word when we're dealing with law. And just because something's unethical doesn't mean it's illegal. And I think we see that a lot when someone really knows the system well.
Yeah.
And especially going back to Murdaugh and his ability and those tentacles, as you said, he can solve a lot of people's challenges, priorities, and pain points with a phone call, with a letter, with a note. So even though some people have collapsed because of him, he's still got a lot of people he can support and solve problems for because of his network. Mm-hmm. From the things I've heard from people that do know him, not maybe recently, but from years past, he's extremely likable. People did like him. I mean, he's well connected. And when you have someone that well connected and is so intrinsic generationally, that's a hard thing for a prosecution to overcome, because what do you do about it? I mean, it's not like you can say, all you can do is put him in isolation, put him in lockdown, and allow him to have no contact with anyone, which when you're given in this part of the country, good luck. So this is a fascinating case of really strong personal connections, charisma, and the ability to solve problems through his skill set.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens here, and if in fact Judge Clifton Newman does step aside or if he stays in there. It seems like another area where we can avoid future conflict by taking action now and letting egos go.
Yeah, at the same time, I would like to see him stay because he seemed to be very objective. And So here's the question asked. Would you be more confident or less confident by someone else being newly appointed? And if something went a little sideways with the new person that came in, even the slightest tinge of any impropriety, would we then have a hypothesis that maybe this person was already pre-selected, pre-connected to favor Murdaugh rather than someone who actually has a track record of being pretty objective on the case. So you got to be careful what you wish for.
That's true. I mean, in many other courtrooms in many other counties that have no issues with it, but what we've seen thus far in the track record of South Carolina's low country, anything is possible.
Sick of the ads?
We are too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now